Father, I thank you for your word. There are many things in the word of God, Lord, but thank you, Holy Spirit, that you quicken certain things to us that are needful at this time, and I believe this is one of them. Father, I pray that you'll just allow me, enable me to minister under your anointing and to flow with you and to bring out what's important to you and to the hearers, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. We're on to number 15 of the covenant that God made with David, and it's the heading is Covenant People Are Not Perfect. How about that? None of us are perfect, but they have a perfect heart, and there is a great difference there, and we're just going to explore some of that tonight. Back to David. Every one of us knows that David has been anything but perfect. His actions were not perfect. He was not a perfect man. And yet, in Acts chapter 13 and verse 22, it says that David maintained a perfect heart. David has made many mistakes on his journey, just as we all have. Anybody put their hand up if they've never made a mistake? Oh, I think we've all got to keep our hands down, haven't we? Yes, Andrew. Yes, David has made many mistakes on his journey, and just as we have. But for the first time, he's about to step outside of covenant and realise the cost of doing so. In 2 Samuel 11, and I'm not going to read all of that, but that's the account. 2 Samuel 11 is where the account is. And it talks about it was the time when the kings went forth to battle. However, David tarried in Jerusalem. David stayed at home when he should have been in battle. And Daniel's been talking about disobedience. And David's disobedience got him into a lot of trouble. He was going on his emotions and on his feelings, and he was not listening to the voice of God. He should have been with the rest of the kings going forth to battle. I think really, I was just meditating on this, and to me it seems that David had lost his focus and his enthusiasm. And he was probably battle weary. But you know, when that happens, when we allow ourselves to get unenthusiastic and lose our focus, then we make ourselves vulnerable to attack. When we're disobedient, we are very vulnerable to attack. That's why God tells us we need to obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Some fabulous old hymns that have been coming up in my spirit as I've been doing this study. There's a, in Ecclesiastes, it tells us that, we know that the devil is always crouching at the door, seeking whom he may devour. He never lets up. He's always waiting to pounce, and we don't need to give him an opportunity. Those in leadership, especially so, the devil will strike the shepherd so that he can scatter and devour the sheep. But you know, we are not unaware of the devil's schemes. He has nothing new, we've said many times before. And we need to pray for our leaders and for those who encourage us and are on the leadership team, because they are more vulnerable, I think. If the devil can get those out, then he feels he's done made a good strike. David was disobedient in not going to battle, and he could have saved himself and others from great pain and heartache. In James 4 and verse 17, James says, "Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." David knew he should have been out at the head of the battle, and by not doing that, he opened himself to sin. And 1 Peter 5 and verse 8. 1 Peter 5 and verse 8. Peter tells us, be alert and of a sober mind, because your enemy the devil prowls round like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Mm-hmm. Are you going to be devil food, Michelle?
Hello?
Are you going to be devil food? Are you going to be food for the devil to devour? I'm not, no. We need to be alert and know the word of God and know the way that the devil operates and know what God operates like, so we can distinguish between the voice of the enemy and the voice of God. It's really important that we may hear the voice of God. 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 5. 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 5 says, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. Okay, so we need to check these thoughts that come into our head. Now, is it God? Is this from God or is this from the devil? And it's only by practice that we will know. It's only by being in the Word of God that we will know how God thinks and what God says, and how the enemy works and what the enemy does. And it's important that we know which is which if we're going to stay strong. But here, you know, we see instead of taking his thoughts captive, David allowed his emotions to rule his actions. Submitting to emotions, feelings, circumstances will seriously take you on a downward spiral. Anybody experienced that?
Yeah.
Definitely. How often do we run by our emotions, our feelings? And when everything looks bad, I mean, if you watch the news tonight, you'd be down on a spiral, a downward spiral. This could happen, that could happen. We might not have this, we might not have that. Oh, for goodness sake, we've got God, we've got everything. If God be for us, who can be against us? He's there, he's our rock, he's our anchor, he's our stronghold. We need to take captive the thoughts that the devil wants to put into our minds and stop running on our emotions. You know, God's been speaking to me very much these past few weeks about the power of peace.
Yeah.
It's a spiritual weapon. It's one of the gifts and, the fruits of the Spirit. When we're at peace, and if you don't remember anything else, remember this tonight. When we're at peace, the devil has no hook to latch onto. He can't do anything against you. He is powerless. Why? Because the only power the devil has got is what he can generate in you. Every bit of negative power that he can generate in you, he will use against you. Now, why do we need to be in peace? Because when we're in peace, we give the devil no ammunition. There's nothing he can do to work against us. We immobilize him.
Yeah.
That's why peace is tremendously important. How do we achieve a state of peace in all circumstances? And we've read it, by taking every thought captive to make it obedient to Christ. In other words, what does God's word say about my situation? That's the question to ask, and that's the answer that you need to look for the answer in the word of God. Search it out, read it until you know the answer to that question. What does God say about my situation? I'll tell you one thing he does say. He says, fear not. Never, ever be afraid. Why does he tell us not to be afraid? Because we're giving the devil power to work against us. He works through your fear. He works through your stress. He works through your anxiety. He works through your depression. He works through unforgiveness. These are all negatives. And these are the very things that give the devil power against you. I don't know if you've been reading Word for Today this past week, but it's really blessed me. And it took me back to the times that we've studied the Lord's Prayer. And we go through in the Lord's Prayer the names of God. And his Word for Today has been studying the words, the names of God. And one of them is Jehovah Shalom. God, the Lord, my peace. God is our peace. No matter what's happening, he is with us. He will never leave us. He has the answer. He has the power. He has the peace. Just draw from him. And you will have no issue with the devil. A man that was terrified was Gideon. Gideon was terrified at the assignment that God had given him to do. And he said, I can't do this. This is too big for me. This is far bigger than me. And God says, that's the very thing. That's the very way it needs to be. If it's bigger than you, then you don't get the glory. I do the work and the glory is mine. It's God's kingdom, God's power and God's glory every time. Gideon was terrified. But God gave him a promise. I will be with you and you will strike down all the Midianites. Peace. Do not be afraid. And that was the heading at the top of, I think it was us. Was it Sunday's? Might have been Sunday's Word for Today. It was at the top of there. And it just hit me like a bullet. It's like, I just picked it up, read it, and I thought, wow, wham bang, thank you God, bullseye. And that's how God speaks to you. There's something on your mind. You pick up the Word of God. A verse jumps out at you, and you know that you know that you know, that's your answer. This is God. But if you never pick your word up, if you never pick the Bible up, you're never going to find out what he's saying. The Word of God is the most important weapon that we have got. God took Gideon through a process to bring him to a place of being utterly convinced that before the battle was even fought, he knew he would be victorious. Now that's victory. That is the winning attitude. Yeah, and that's where we need to be. So, I can testify many times to something being on my mind. I don't know which way to turn. I don't know what to do. I pick the Word of God up. A verse jumps out at me. And if you have done this, immediately that verse hits your spirit, everything goes calm. There's absolute peace from top to toe. And you know that you know that you know God's won this battle for you. You don't need to fight. You just need to wait, watch, and see God come and give the devil off they go. Amen. Through the eye of faith, Gideon saw what God saw. That's what we need to do. We need to see from God's vantage point. And by doing that, he overcame fear and he entered into peace. He then built an altar to Jehovah Shalom, the God, my peace. Can you say that tonight? The God, my peace. He is my peace. He truly is. And when he's spoken to you, peace. You know, our little pup, when he's a little bit giddy in the morning, or sleepy, I should say, in the morning, he comes out of his cage and he's wagging his tail and he's doing all this and he's yawning and stretching and then suddenly he notices you and he comes running to you and he wants a cuddle. He just wants to know that he knows that somebody's there, somebody loves him. And we start the day on the right foot. And I think that's lovely because that's what we need to do with God. We need to get into his presence and feel his arms around us, giving us a big hug and saying, I'm here. There's nothing to be afraid of. If we seriously desire to live a life of peace, then it is possible as we submit to God's word and let the Holy Spirit reveal the truth. Because what does the word say? You shall know the truth. and the truth shall set you free. Praise God. That's it. Back to David. David should have been at war and he was at home. And this particular morning he was out, I think it was an evening actually, he was out walking on his rooftop when he saw Bathsheba bathing. And he was immediately captivated and enticed. He sent and inquired as to who she was, and he was told that she was the wife of Uriah the Hittite, who had gone to battle. Knowing full well that he was being disobedient, he sent for Bathsheba and he slept with her. And from this illicit affair, Bathsheba conceived. She sent and she told David that she was with child. David immediately commissioned the captain of the army to have Uriah sent home for a visit from the battle, hoping that he would sleep with his wife and that he could cover everything up. But David's plot failed, as although Uriah came home, he was a very upright man and a very honest man. And he said, no, I can't sleep with my wife. I can't enjoy the pleasures of home while the other men are out there fighting and risking their lives. And you read that in 2 Samuel chapter 11 and verse 11. David then sent a message to the captain of the army to have Uriah placed on the forefront of the hottest battle. David was determined that if his plan to cover up the affair wouldn't work, then he would have Uriah killed, and he would then take Bathsheba for his own wife. And his plan succeeded. But David had committed adultery, and he had committed murder. He wasn't perfect, but God said, he's a man after my own heart.
Yeah.
He has a perfect heart. 2 Samuel 11 and verse 27 tells us that when the mourning and the grieving was past, David sent and fetched Bathsheba to his house, and she became his wife, and she bore him a son. And then it says in the same verse, but the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. God sees everything. And if you read Psalm 139 that David wrote many, many years later, where can I flee from your presence? Ouch, if I go into hell, you're there. If I go to the farthest ends of the earth, you're there. You'll always find me. You always know where I am. You know my thoughts before I even speak a word. You know a word that's on my mind before it gets to my tongue. You know everything about it. You know every intimate detail about me. Dave said, God, this is too awesome. This is too much for me to absorb. I can't grasp it. But I know it's true. God sent Nathan the prophet to David with a word of rebuke and warning for his actions in breaking covenant. God agreed to forgive David and to spare his life because of the uprightness of David's heart. But the child would have to die. And we find that in 2 Samuel 12, verses 9 to 15. In breaking covenant, David placed himself back under the law. And under the law, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, a life for a life. He had killed a man, and I believe that was the reason the penalty of death was on his son. I think of those words that Samuel said to Saul, obedience is better than sacrifice. Do as God tells you. Be quick to respond to God. Even if you've got it wrong, be quick to apologize. Be quick to repent. And let God deal with the consequences. David wept and fasted all night in repentance. And he was begging for God to spare the child. He said, while that child is still alive, I will plead with God for his life. And he did that. And he did it all night, but to no avail. The child died. When that happened, David knew he'd done all he possibly could do. And he rose up, he washed, he anointed himself, and he changed his clothes. God forgave David, but there were still consequences for his actions. And that's the tragic thing. Ecclesiastes 10 and verse 8. Ecclesiastes 10 and verse 8 says, "He that diggeth a pit shall fall into it, and whosoever breaketh a hedge, a serpent shall bite him." Not a good thing to do. When we willfully break through our hedge of protection, we will get bitten. And I firmly believe that God protects us. There's a hedge of protection around us. I don't know about you, but I've felt that many times. I've been in situations where there was only that hedge of protection that stopped me from doing something absolutely stupid. I was reversing one time in a little Fiat X19, and we were at this place where we used to keep our big bus, and it had a huge pit for the bus, and I was manoeuvring to get the car out so I could drive off, and it was really dark in that place, and reversing lights not always the best, are they? And I was going backwards and backwards, and I suddenly saw Andrew doing all these hand gestures. I'm thinking, what's that to with him? I'm only reversing. And I tell you not, I kid you not, suddenly that car stopped. And I thought, what's all the fuss about? And I pulled forward and I got out and had a look. I was almost on the lip of that pit. And I would have gone, literally, that car's not very high, is it? I would have gone straight back and the top. You know that hedge of protection? God is with us. He loves his children. He never takes his eyes off of them. Even when we're downright stupid, he is there for us, to warn us. So, yeah, I thank God for Andrew. James 4 and verse 17 says, "Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." So it's clear that David was in the wrong. The fact that David wasn't perfect but had a perfect heart was proven when he was rebuked by Nathan the prophet.
Yeah.
David took complete and total responsibility for his actions by saying, "I and I alone have sinned." David expressed his heart in Psalm 51, verses 3 and 4. He said in Psalm 51, verses 3 and 4, "For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. But against thee, thee only, Lord, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest." David admitted that he was wrong. He transgressed. And he transgressed against God. David powerfully demonstrated his pureness of heart by a further prayer of repentance in the same chapter, chapter 51, and verses 10 to 13. And this is a very popular scripture. "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with your free spirit. Then I will teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee." David had learnt the lesson and was equipped to identify with and instruct others. You know, no experience is wasted in God. You can use everything. God turns it, and if it's only to rescue others from falling into the same trap, then it can be used and not wasted. Though David had seriously sinned, he was still a man after God's own heart. And he was a man of covenant. He'd failed, but his heart was quick to repent and take responsibility. And in Psalm 51 and verse 17, David says, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, you will not despise." God already, I find this interesting. Something God spoke to me about ages and ages ago. God already knew what David was capable of doing before he committed the sin. And yet God still chose him to be king of Israel. God knows everything about every one of us, but that didn't stop him choosing us before the foundation of the world. Amen. God never rejected David because God looks at the hearts, and he found David to be a man after God's own heart. He may have failed miserably, but know this, his heart beat passionately for God. He never lost that passion and that desire for God. And as I've said, God knows everything that we will do. Before we were born, he saw our full lifespan. He knew every day what would take place. But he still chose us before the foundation of the world to be his children. And I thank God for his amazing grace. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. Amen. What we've been singing tonight, amazing salvation, amazing love. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Yes. It was not my righteousness, not my goodness that attracted him to me. I was a sinner, but I'm a sinner saved by grace, and I am now righteous. Repentance restores our relationship with God. When you get it wrong, be quick to settle accounts with God. Run to him, don't run from him, run to him. And let's put the things right. And God will restore us. And we will be justified. And what does justified mean? Just as if we'd never sinned. Woo-hoo! I love that, don't you? Every one of us tonight, if the record is straight with God, we are just as if we'd never sinned. God totally chooses never to remember our sins against us. Thank you, God. He puts them away from him. He never uses them against us, ever. Wow, what a mighty God. And we have to respond to one another in the same way. We stand complete in him. I love that. Perfect love casts out all fear. And he is perfect love. Praise God. So be encouraged. God is not looking for perfect vessels, but he is looking for yielded vessels. Yeah. Are you yielded to God? I am. I only want what God wants. And I've got to just quote this old song. And for you who were born in the 50s or the 60s, you might have sung it in your school assembly. But this is just sums up tonight. Dear Lord and Father of mankind, forgive our foolish ways. Reclothe us in our rightful mind. In purer lives thy service find. In deeper reverence praise. Drop thy still dews of quietness till all our strivings cease. Take from our souls the strain and stress, and let our ordered lives confess the beauty of thy peace. Breathe through the heats of our desire thy coolness and thy balm. Let sense be dumb, let flesh retire. Speak through the earthquake, wind and fire. O still, small voice of calm. When the battle's raging, when emotions are running wild, Lord, let sense be dumb, let flesh retire, speak through the earthquake, wind and fire. Oh, still, small voice of calm.
Yeah.
That was what Elijah had, that still, small voice. And he heard it. Well, now the battle was raging and the elements were raging. He wasn't in the wind, he wasn't in the fire, he wasn't in the earthquake. It was his still, small voice. And that's what we're going to hear if we will say to God, God, I submit to you.
Yeah.
Settle my spirit. As I read your word, just speak to me. And when he does, I'll tell you, a peace will flood your soul from top to toe. That's my Jesus. Amen. Praise God.
Praise God.
People make mistakes. David made his mistakes. But the great thing about that was that God sent the man of God, the prophet, to speak to David. Often it said he confronted him. But he brought him to the place of realization that David needed to repent. That David needed to come back to God.
Mm-hmm.
And in doing so, God forgave him.
Yeah.
Amen.
And that's the great thing, because forgiveness brings us to a place of absolute freedom.
Amen.
And it brings us to a place
Amen.
Where we can access
yeah.
the throne room of God.
Yeah.
That's what it opens for us.
Mm-hmm.
It opens us to the access of the throne of God, to
Amen.
the very presence of Almighty God. He opens us that, you know, that place where we can just walk into the presence. You see, our unforgiveness, our sin. Unforgiveness is sin.
Mm.
And it stops us from moving into the presence of God. It stops us receiving from
yeah.
God.
Okay.
Jealousy, bitterness, envy, greed, all these things stop us from receiving God's best.
Yeah.
And that's why, you know, we talk so much about forgiveness. We talk about dealing with jealousy and envy and greed. This is why the Word of God speaks on these things. To bring us to that place where we are a people that are forgiven.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But also a people that forgive.
Amen. Amen.
The Lord's Prayer talks about our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, etc. And it goes on, forgive us our debt, forgive us our sins, as we forgive others that have sinned against us. And yeah, there are people, we've all been sinned against.
Yeah.
Yeah? Yeah. That's right. And we've all got reason to be bitter and twisted and angry and hateful. But then there's an even bigger reason. That if you want God to forgive you, then you have to forgive everybody else.
Amen.
It's not a choice. It's not if you want to do it.
No.
You must
do
this. And you know, we come around the Lord's table every Sunday, don't we? And part of coming around the Lord's table should be that we should be reminded at times that it talks about we bring a sacrifice to God when we come around the Lord's table. And it says, you know, if you've got something against a brother or sister, that you put your sacrifice to one side and you go and deal with that problem. You go and do the forgiving. You do what you need to do.
Amen.
And in doing so, then you can come freely to the Lord's table as a sinless, spotless individual.
Amen.
Anger, bitterness, jealousy. There's no place for it
no.
in the heart of a believer.
There is not.
And you and I need to know that we need to, and even people who've hurt us historically, we have to forgive them.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you don't know what they did to me. No, I don't. God does.
Yeah.
We've already heard that tonight. And God is the one who judges.
Yeah.
And God is the one who meters out justice. Not you. Because you and I do not judge in a just way.
No.
We judge at time out of anger. Don't we?
Yeah.
You know, just let me, you know, if I get hold of them, I will.
Okay, that's the way I'm feeling at the moment.
Is it? Well, maybe for I had this earlier on, and I didn't know where Grace was going with all what she was preaching, but we need to take this all on board, each and every one of us, because historically, and you know, I've seen it through my own family life, and there comes a point where you have to realise that if you carry unforgiveness, it puts you into a prison cage. And you lock yourself up in that prison cage. Bitterness, it says a bitter spirit drieth up the bones. Brings arthritis and all those. It makes you an awful person. And so forgiveness is so important as an individual. We've been forgiven so much. Do you know something? You and I right now have been forgiven our future mistakes.
Yeah.
Think about that one, eh? Praise God. You've already been forgiven. Whilst we're in Christ, we're forgiven our future mistakes. That's amazing, that. I mean, hopefully we're not going to make too many. But if we do, forgiveness is already there.
I have a T-shirt thing, I've had those mistakes in my life, but I don't do it now.
And we've got to keep not doing it. It's a challenge at times, but it's important that we forgive. You know, and it says if you've got something against somebody, forgive them. You might not be able to go to that person. That person could be dead. That person could have moved away. That person could live in another country now. But what you've got to do is you've got to say, I forgive whoever it is for what they said, what they did, whatever it might be. I forgive them. I release them.
Yeah.
Right?
Pardon?
Pray, and look what it's done for you. In you forgiving all those people that have hurt you, look what it's done to you. You've become a new person.
Amen.
You've become a young bird learning to fly. I mean, is that not right? Have you not, you know, the people here, have you not seen a change in that lady? And that is through operating in forgiveness and receiving God's forgiveness, and it says all the burdens and just rolled away.
Yeah.
It's all taken off. No more condemnation.
No.
You stop thinking about it.
Yeah, and you stop meditating. Yeah, and because when you think about these things imprison you.
Yeah, they eat you away.
Yeah, it eats you away. You get angry. Yeah, you get angry.
I was so bitter and twisted.
Yeah. So bitter and twisted. 28 years. And yet, those people, or whoever it might have been in the future, you know, that's hurt you, they probably don't even know. They might not even know they've hurt you. Right? And they may have not done it intentionally. But we took it on board. And then it became not just a small thing, but it became a major thing and became a burden. And it began to press us down. And it begins to crush us.
Don't let those things continue.
No.
Jesus came to set captives free.
Right.
We were captive.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
But there's freedom in the cross.
Amen.
There's freedom in the blood.
Yes.
There's freedom in the name.
Thank you.
There's freedom in the love of Jesus.
Woo!
You know?
Amen.
And no matter what's gone on in the past, you've to walk out of it. You have to walk away from it.
Yeah.
And you have to forgive as you walk away.
Yeah.
You might not forget. That might be a bit of a more difficult thing. But the moment that you begin that process of forgiving and forgiving and forgiving, the less you focus on it, the less you'll remember it. And when the devil brings it to mind, you say, oh, I've dealt with that one.
Mm.
You know, you're just dragging up old stuff. That's all dealt with. It's forgiven,
yeah.
Set free. That no longer has a hold on me. And this is the thing, you know, bitterness will take a hold on you.
Mm.
And it will drown you and it will drown others with you.
Mm.
It will destroy you. And so today, you know, as David suddenly realized the situation he'd gotten himself into.
Mm.
He came to God and he asked God for his forgiveness. You see, David has sinned against God.
Yeah.
And God, David has to go to God and ask God to forgive me.
Restore
back to me. Don't take your Holy Spirit from me. And folks, you know, God wants you to have the fullness of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
In your lives. Some of you have not yet been fully filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, it's coming next.
Amen.
It's coming.
Yes.
God is not going to withhold from you.
No.
God wants you to have pressed down,
yes,
shaken together,
mm-hmm,
and running over, God will give to you.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where God's moving. But you see, you and I have to move with Him.
Mm-hmm.
You and I have to move forward in these things. And as we move forward and we allow God's forgiveness to come into us, we receive His forgiveness, and at the same time, forgiveness flows from us. You know, before we got saved, some of us did not really know how to love. And yet when the love of God came in, what flows out from you? The love of God flows out from you, doesn't it? And so forgiveness flows out. And there are, I mean, David knows, he's known me a long time, and there are things that I could hang on to, and I could say, I was wrongly treated, I was, you know, financially abused, verbally abused, and I could list a few things. And if I was to focus on them, I would not be where I am today.
Not worth it.
But I made a decision. I turned my back on it and I walked away from
Amen.
It. And I said, I'm not going to hold that. I am no longer going to be... You see, that brings me into condemnation.
Yeah.
And the Word says there is now no more condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. But when we move into bitterness and resentment and jealousies and all those things, we move ourselves out of Christ.
Yeah.
And we have to step back into Christ. But we can't come into Christ with all that baggage,
no,
and maintain it there. It has to be left. It has to go. Because you see, what happens is, when Nehemiah came after the wall had been built, he came back 10 years later and he came to see the temple.
Mm.
And he said he had a tour of the temple rooms. And he got to one room and he says, what's all this in here? And I never remember which one it was, Sambalat or Tobias. It was one of those two. These were his arch enemies. They intended to kill him 10 years earlier.
Mm.
And he might say, oh, I haven't got time for that. I haven't got time to be bothered with you guys. I've got something to do for God.
Amen.
I have an appointment, I have a destiny, and I need to be focused on that, not on you guys.
Mm.
And he walks into the temple 10 years later and he sees Tobias' stuff, and he says, what is this? Oh, it's Tobias. What? He says, cleanse the temple.
Yeah.
Get rid of this. This was rebellion. This was death. This was unclean. This was ungodly. And Nehemiah said, take it out and then cleanse this room.
Mm.
And you know, in the same way, God comes into us. And those hurts, those wounds from those things, that bitterness, resentment, jealousy and envy and greed, God's taking them out. He's cleaning the room.
Yes, cleans the house.
The temple is made of many rooms. There are many rooms that God begins to go through in our lives.
Yes.
And you know, some days we think, made it. And then a week or two later, God says, oh, by the way, Andrew, we just need to deal with this. Excuse me? Where did you find that? Oh, I found that in this little room over here that you'd hidden away. And you might even have forgotten about it. And God says, no, we need to clean this place. Because God wants to pour through perfect vessels.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. We're imperfect, we know. But as we draw closer to Him, we're on that potter's wheel. And we're being made perfect in His image for His glory to flow through us to men and women outside. And you know, when they come in with their hurts, their wounds and their resentments and all their baggage, you and I can stand there and say, been there, done that. Had the t-shirt, but I got rid of it. I gave it to Jesus, and I've been given garments of righteousness. Hallelujah. I'm clothed in His praise and worship, ready to be, you know, and it shines out of you. And people do look at you and say, well, how can you be so happy in this circumstance? How can you have so much peace in this situation? It's like, well, it's because I'm just connected to the Prince of Peace. I'm just connected to the joy of the Lord, for He is my strength. And these are the things that we have to carry out and do. And I believe that God tonight, Barry's already said, you know, God's speaking to him. And we need to realize, if God is speaking to you about these things, then you need to deal with them.
Yeah.
Don't just put them to one side and ignore them. If God's put His little finger on it and said, deal with this. Change. Change. Because in that change comes an abundance of blessings, an abundance of freedom, an abundance of joy.
Yeah.
It just allows God to flow in His fullness.
You're a better person.
Oh, absolutely a better person. You see, it's like having an old furred up water pipe.
If I had to come here, I'd still be bitter.
Yeah.
God wants you to be free.
And God's moving you step by step more and more into that freedom. Yeah, and it's fantastic. Yeah. It is. Yeah, I remember when you first used to come online and you used to think, oh, Lord. Yeah, I'm thinking, Lord, wait when I see her face to face. I'm going to have her. Glory to God. She's coming. She's coming. Praise God. And we were praying for you. And you arrived. And look what God has done for you already. And there is much more to be happening. And that's what we've got to remember. And it says we surrender to God. And He just pours into us and He begins to flow through us and out of us.
Yeah.
That we flow into touching other people's lives. Because that's what we're here for. You know, you're all commissioned to go and touch lives with a voice, the name and the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. For His praise and for His glory. It's not for yours.
No.
You'll receive your reward in heaven. You know, some folk want it here and now. Well, if you have it here and now, there'll be nothing in heaven for you. You know? But rejoice in the fact that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Yeah.
You know, it's written in a book that is an eternal book that has given us eternal life.
Amen.
And it's because of the blood of Jesus, and He has forgiven us, and we just let that forgiveness flow and forgive others. You know, we might have family members that have hurt us and wounded us. We might have close members that have done things against us, forgive them.
Amen.
You might have a father, a mother, forgive them. Set yourself free.
Mm.
The prison door's been opened. Come out. The cage has been unlocked. Come out and fly.
Amen.
Fly on the presence of the Lord and rejoice in His love. Amen.